I'm Joe Burke from PopX Cast, a proud member of the Gonna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all of our podcasts at GonnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
Welcome back to the Starling Tribune, and I am back, so welcome back to the SP. I am Stargate Pioneer, but everybody calls me SP. Your reporters for this special episode covering The Flash are Michelle.
God, I wish I could kill you, but today I get to be the hero.
Thanks for not killing me. And Anthony.
Our grandmothers were alcoholics.
Lots of eggnog there. Hey guys, this podcast is recorded live Thursday, December 15th, 2016 on Geeks.live. Just a little reminder, we're a bunch of comic enthusiasts, right, Michelle?
Yes, my comic book store having a sale and I spent money.
Lots and lots of money, right, Michelle?
Sale, my favorite four-letter word.
Right. And joining us tonight, specially to replace our two wayward co-hosts of Chris and Neil, who are off watching Star Wars tonight. Wow, that's a great way to spend tonight, is Anthony.
My allowance for, 27 years now? Yeah, I got my comic.
Definitely love the bookcases too, sir. So that's it. We are comic book enthusiasts, not necessarily experts. We don't work in the fields, but we do enjoy talking about them. So just a reminder, tonight we'll be talking about our thoughts on the first half of Flash Season 3, as well as news, articles, interviews, and announcements that have dropped in the past week that could impact future episodes of Arrow, The Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, and I'm going to say it hopefully, Constantine. Just a little reminder that our speculations will probably include a lot of the information that the showrunners, the actors, and the creative team have shared behind the scenes and at cons and at public interviews themselves. And even though we're throwing out wild speculations, a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. So consider yourselves warned.
And speaking of spoilers, sometimes we geek out and talk about this week's DC Comics. So every once in a while, there could be a comic book spoiler, but we promise we'll try our best not to ruin anything for you. If you're new to the show, thank you for searching us out on the internet and joining us. If you like our content, why don't you swing by our podcast network home at GonnaGeek.com, where you can find all of our past shows, plus a ton of other geeky videos, podcasts, and articles, all under the Gonna Geek Productions banner.
Thanks, Michelle. Now, since Chris and Neil aren't here, why don't you take the helm and break down the first half of Flash for us?
So we are going to be discussing the first half of Flash Season 3. We're going to cover the episodes Flashpoint, Paradox, Magenta, The New Rogues, which featured the Mirror Master and the Top, Monster, that's where we got to meet Caitlin's mom, Shade, Killer Frost, which was directed by Kevin Smith.
Snooch to the Nooch!
Invasion, which was part of the epic crossover. And The Present, which was directed by one of my favorites, Rachel Talalay.
Nice. So 9 episodes in the first half of Season 3, starting with Flashpoint and pretty much ending with Flashpoint. So let's talk a little bit about Flashpoint. Anthony, you're a big comics guy. What do you know about Flashpoint that you can tell us?
Well, I read most of the series as it was coming out, and I've watched the movie about 9 or 10 times, so I could tell you almost everything.
Okay, let's keep it boxed into what we've seen on screen with the first half of Season 3.
We've got, basically, Barry makes the decision that everything in life would be better, after all the crap he's gone through at the end of season two, to go back and save his mom finally. So he goes back and straight whoops the hell out of the Reverse Flash, says that he'll never touch her again, and creates the new Flashpoint Paradox universe where Barry actually gets to grow up with his parents. And we have a very, very different world where he lives, where the Wests are very different. Basically, every character is extremely different, but you know, Barry's kind of happy, at least for a little while, which is how comics work.
Happy for a summer away, like summer camp. Yeah, just happy there. Okay, but he creates this Flashpoint, which impacts the entire DC TV universe. And I gotta tell you guys, I'm not a fan of the Flashpoint. As much as Elicity can be blamed for ruining Arrow, Flashpoint has really teened me off here with the Flash and for the rest of the DC shows right now.
The one thing that would have been really nice is if they could have got the to expand it and make it affect Fox, so that on Gotham, when we came back for one episode, you had Thomas Wayne as Batman, because that was one of the best parts about the Flashpoint world in the comics and the movie, is that Bruce is killed in front of his parents, which turns Thomas Wayne into Batman and Martha Wayne into the Joker.
Yeah.
Which made for a really messed up storyline.
Really messed up.
But fun.
Yes. What gets me about the adaptation, though, like, when we were talking this summer, we would bring in news about Flashpoint this, and oh my goodness, we were speculating, oh, how many episodes? We were thinking, oh, definitely to the mid-season, that crossover. We had this whole thing, the crossover, they're going to fix it, and the legends are going to be like, that's a time aberration, they're going to be involved, and all this stuff, and all this buildup, and it lasts one episode. And it's like, you know, they just kept, oh, there's going to be this many Easter eggs. Oh, we're going to be doing this. Oh, we're going to be doing that. I wasn't invested in that world as Barry was. Does that make sense?
Especially if you have no reference to it outside of the TV show, I could definitely see where it wasn't quite as powerful. But I do like the fact that it was Barry having to go back and fix his mistake and not the legend showing up to fix it, just because it's so much worse for Barry to say, yeah, go kill my mom. I made a mistake. I was wrong. For him to have to let Reverse Flash go kill his mom again, like, that's such a hard thing. Like, that's insane how hard that choice must have been.
That was incredible, where Barry goes from saying, it's okay, mom, to disappearing, and then Barry letting Eobard Thawne in there to kill her again, and having to watch the whole thing.
Which Eobard called. He's like, you will let me out of here, and you will beg me to kill your mother. And he was right. He knew what was going to happen.
So how many times has she died? We saw her die in first season, right? And she died, so three times? So she's died once a season.
Yeah, Barry's mom in this TV show is like Bruce Wayne's parents in the movie. Like, anytime someone wants to tell a story, that's where you start and then you go forward. Barry's mom dies, tell the story. Barry's mom dies, tell the story.
It is so messed up to have to do that over and over again. And the fact that we are still living with the consequences. The DC TV universe might never actually be the same. And it's for the casual viewer, for the casual person that might know a little bit about comics and doesn't read every issue, I gotta say that they're gonna have some issues. You alluded to it before. Legends of Tomorrow, they go back and change the past all the time, and they don't have these time wraiths coming after them or anything, but the speedsters do, and I think it's an incongruity if you're watching all these shows, all four of these shows, going, what? What's going on here?
I think part of the thing is that they've shown with the speedsters, it's the speedsters making personal decisions, and they're doing it with a superpower. They're literally physically breaking the time barrier, where the Legends characters are using a time ship, so they actually have a device designed to do what they're doing. And I think the slight difference there is that most, especially now in the Legends show with Rip Hunter gone, they're going back and changing and supposedly fixing time aberrations. So they're not going back to change things. They're going back to change things the way they were. And I think that would be how you get your explanation why the time race aren't chasing them.
Have you seen the mid-season finale of Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So you just said something before that made me go, has he seen that? I don't know or not, because Rip Hunter actually reappears, spoilers,
yeah,
for a little bit.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. We don't know if it's really Rip or if it's a version of Rip or it's an alternate reality, another dimension. Like, there's so many options.
Yeah. But speaking of alternate realities, when Barry goes and fixes, I love that scene at the end of Flashpoint where Airbod is like, yeah, everything's fine for me, but for you, maybe not so much. And that's my biggest problem is I don't mind some changes, like the fact that the timeline isn't fixed completely, because when Jay Garrick says about like the teacup, I love that where it's a crack and when you put it back together, it's not perfect. But part of me just feels like this is too different. Like they try to be like, you know, maybe we should have had Caitlin be a meta from the beginning. So let's use Flashpoint to correct that or whatever, because now it's a lot of it has changed. And like, I know the comics a lot, but I talk about my mom a lot about how I use her as like the regular viewer. And she's like, where's their fun? You know, like this is the third season, second season. They, by the end, they were really sort of gelling. And then now it's
the reverse problem of Arrow.
Right. So I have a theory. When they started Arrow, they deliberately went back into 5 years and started those flashbacks from 5 years ago. So I assumed for that, and it's an assumption that they've had a 5-year plan all along to get where they're at. Now, along the way, you had stuff happen like Felicity, which probably wasn't in their original plan because Felicity wasn't supposed to be a main character in season one. But for the large part, I think they've gotten to where they've wanted to be all along at the end of season five.
Probably other than the Suicide Squad. I think DC pulling Suicide Squad from them and Damian Dark becoming a much bigger villain faster, I think that was the biggest change that the Arrow writers had to deal with.
Okay, fair enough. But if for the large part, their big, huge strategic plan was at least headed in the right direction, and they had a big, huge 5-year strategic plan of if we get another season, this is the sort of stuff that we're going to do. I have to think that when they started Flash, they had that same sort of 5-7 year plan ahead, and they deliberately planned that in season 3 they were going to have Flashpoint. So when you say that it was a mistake for Killer Frost not to be a meta from the beginning, I think all along they were going to bring her out, tease her in season 2, and then bring her out through Flashpoint in season 3. Now, I might be totally wrong on that, but I think that that goes to show you what sort of plan that they might have had to the beginning and whether it's really worth sticking to or not. Like, and I'll give you another example. For Supergirl, that did not come through at all. And we talked on the show a lot more about Legends of Tomorrow season 1, how that was kind of a failure until you got closer to the end. And then season 2 has been amazing because they did have a plan. So I'm wondering, where is the future with Flash that they're ultimately gaining for in the season 5, season 6? And I hope that this season doesn't ruin it the way that season 4 almost ruined Arrow.
Well, I would say that having listened to what Teddy Sears said on Fat Man on Batman with Kevin Smith, when they finished filming season 2, when he was done with his Zoom parts, and he said he couldn't talk about it, but the way they were leaving season 2, which at the time they didn't know if they'd been greenlit for season 3, he didn't know how the hell they would even do season 3. He's like, we do something at the end of 2 where we don't know what the hell we're going to do. It's like jumping off a cliff at the end of the show. And so I'm not sure if they had a 5-year plan for Flash, I think it was a lot looser than what they had for Arrow. I think that they had Arrow plotted out a little heavier. And I think Flash, especially with Flash being a much more popular character, a show that was definitely started with much more fun involved. Like, it's a fun cast. It's a fun show. We can make changes. Like, I mean, they made Vibe a cool character. Like, Detroit Justice League Vibe. Like, that character's awful. And they made Cisco Ramon a super cool character. But I think they went a lot looser into Flash. And I think they had a lot more questions about whether or not next seasons would get picked up. And so at the end of each season, they're like, just do something crazy. And then if they don't come back, hey, we don't come back.
It very well might be, because the creative team has been spread pretty thin with all these shows going on. So they might have said, well, okay, after season 2, we'll reset. Total acceptable possibility there. Is there anything else we want to talk specifically about Flashpoint before we start going down some of the character arcs?
Yeah, I did have one point to say. Michelle was talking about how they struck it down to just one episode. The fact that we basically have gone 9 episodes dealing with the circumstances and consequences of that one episode and the simple, all the different things they've had to do to change characters, change sets, change suits. I think that's a big production question for why we didn't see a 6 month or 6 episode long Flashpoint. Because if they'd have done 6 weeks of Flashpoint and then we had to come back and deal with all the consequences of everything we saw during that, they could run with that for 3 years. And so the fact that they've gone 8 episodes dealing with what Barry did in one episode, like, that tells you how crazy it could have gone if they'd have run Flashpoint even longer.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah. So, Michelle, do you want to start going down some character arcs here?
Oh, Barry. Barry, Barry, Barry. Oh, Felicity calls you pudding. I call you almost bad yogurt. You're still good, but barely.
Almost bad yogurt? Yogurt. I hate yogurt, even with strawberries.
One of the things is that he has to been getting told over and over again about messing with the time. And in the episode Paradox, where Jay Garrick comes along and has to school him, he still even has that little like, look, people have told me this. And it's almost like he has to get smacked upside the head hard by Jay to be like, you just can't keep doing this. You gotta just go on and just stop trying to change things. Which at the end of the present, he sees a flash of the future. And of course, he's going to become obsessed with changing it because Barry is obsessed with messing up time. And even though people keep telling him, you hurt me this way, Cisco's devastated, and Caitlin this, he's still so tempted to mess with time. I don't get it.
But you do have to think that changing a possible future should have less ramifications than going back and changing something that we know to be a flashpoint, to something very specific like the death of his mother. Which, come on, if you had superpowers and you could go back in time and save one of your parents from a horrendous death, you know you tried at least once.
Okay, I would understand if maybe he would have just like realized he had go time travel, but he's traveled and he's actually erased. He erased an entire day. The first time he kissed Iris, he erased that completely.
And an entire timeline.
Yeah, they had this weird sort of like, he was like thinking, oh, we're in love. And now Iris is like, whatever, like, I'm with this guy. I don't know what happened. Like, dude, whatever. That was season one. Like, dude, come on. I mean, is he just really, really thick pudding?
Thick pudding. That's good.
Barry Allen, bread pudding.
Almost bad yogurt, thick pudding. I like all these analogies, Michelle. You're hitting on all cylinders tonight. So Barry Allen, to me, this year, he had to deal with the new coworker, which we'll get into that a little bit. He had trouble coming back and adapting to his life post-Flashpoint, and he's constantly getting berated by everyone. Even Supergirl was like, Barry, what the heck? That's not right. So it is what it is at this point. They have to get out of it. They have to move forward with Barry's character and make him likable again. Because right now, and I never thought I'd say this, because before the season, I was staunch against it, that Barry Allen in the CW TV show was going to be my Flash. It was going to be miles above the DC Cinematic Universe version of The Flash. Now, I gotta say, I'm flip-flopping because what is going on right now is not making me like The Flash at all. And I think CW's got a large hill to climb to make him likable again and to try to bring up ratings just a little bit.
I think they can do that a lot easier with Grant Gustin than they can with a kid wrapped in body armor. I still can't figure out why they allowed Zack Snyder to be part of designing a suit for The Flash and covering it 30 pounds of metal. He looks like a tank. He looks like a red tank. Why the hell would The Flash wear armor that would slow him down?
Because he can run Flash with it on. I don't know. You're right. But just the interactions that I've seen in the trailers versus what we've seen with Barry here And Grant Gustin, I give all props to him. This is not his fault. This is writing's issue. This is the storyline issue. He's acted very well, Grant Gustin has. The Flash character, on the other hand, I'm not over it. Now, let's go back to another Flash, Jay Garrick from Earth 3. We haven't talked a lot about him yet.
You mean the original TV Flash?
That's right. He's been a joy to have in this season, from coming in and talking about the teacup all the way to his little interaction with Mark Hamill in the mid-season finale.
Oh, that was so good. He's basically the world's greatest living Easter egg at this point. The fact that they took the original TV show Flash, John Wesley Shipp, who used to run around in a giant crushed red velvet suit, and, you know, it was a big buff dude at the time, but still, that I own that entire series on DVD. I've rewatched it 2 or 3 times. It's still just as ridiculous now as it was then. It's fun, but it's so ridiculous. But I think one of the things that Barry in the comics, if you go back and read the comics, especially the old ones, Barry is boring. Like, that's one of the reasons I was never a fan of the Barry Flash in the comics. I was always a Wally West fan, because Wally West is where you got that kind of goofy attitude. He was the one that played pranks on people. And the fact that they took Grant Gustin, I think, and kind of infused his own personality a little bit into Barry and made him a likable character that's charismatic, even though he's a goofball. And, like, they give him some actual character, which the original Flash in the comics kind of really doesn't have. I think what we're seeing in the movie stuff, what we've seen so far, is that character seems to be, even though they're calling him Barry Allen, they're playing him a little more like he's Wally West. And I think that's what we're really going to see a difference, even though they're going to supposedly... that Flash in the Justice League is going to be Barry Allen. I think he's going to act a lot like Wally West in the cartoons and the comic books.
You bring up a good point. So for those that might not understand what's going on in the comic books right now in the Rebirth universe, there's really 3 Flashes, or a Flash and 2 Kid Flashes running around right now. You got Barry Allen in the Flash, and you have 2 Wally West that have appeared in the main comic, The Flash. You have kind of the newer one, the African-American version of Wally West that is in the Teen Titans. And then you have the more traditional Caucasian Kid Flash that is in Titans. And they both have appeared in The Flash. So do you want to run down those 3 characters right now?
The current one, I'm not really sure how it's set up, because the only book I was reading, I was picking up the new current Flash for a while. In the original universe... not even the original universe, but the previous, like the 90s comics, it was Barry, and then it was his nephew Wally got struck by the same lightning bolt, which you end up finding out later on actually was Wally, if I remember correctly. As traveling through the Speed Force, he turned into a lightning bolt and went back in time and struck himself to give himself superpowers. So he's literally the most meta superhero of all time. He becomes the thing that ends up making him have superpowers that later turns him into the thing that goes back to and just, it's all sorts of circular. But it was, Barry was the one who grew up, died on Crisis on Infinite Earths, and then Wally became the much more powerful Flash. Wally was the one that started learning how to vibrate and go through walls. Then he could time travel. Then he could dimension jump. And then it basically got to the point where Wally West, with speed, could pretty much do anything like Superman could do, where he was just so overpowered that they couldn't really come up with good stories for anything that could stop it. And then when they relaunched the New 52 is when they introduced the new African-American Wally West. And that one I actually haven't read at all. But then when they got rid of the New 52 and relaunched the brand new universe, which they're on now currently, it's hard to keep track of all the comic book universes as they launch and get destroyed and relaunch again. But Barry, as they were restarting the new world, gets visited by Wally West, who was basically like being lost in the Speed Force, the original Caucasian Wally West. And as he went to visit every person, if they didn't recognize him, like, it pulled him back in the Speed Force and he disappeared. And he went to Barry pretty much as his last hope of the one person that should know me. And for some odd reason, that Wally West had been erased from the timeline. And basically, Barry looks at him, doesn't recognize him. And as Wally goes to fade away, Barry like reaches out and grabs his hand and goes, "Oh my God, Wally." And he finally was the first person to remember who Wally was. And somehow that pulled that Wally West into the reality that is the current DC universe. Now, how the actual relationship between the two Wally Wests, I don't know. I believe it's the African American Wally West is adopted cousin of Iris.
Iris's nephew.
Or it's Iris's nephew now instead of Barry's nephew. Yeah, so I think they're all still related, right? It's just, yeah, it's related through a different marriage, I guess. But yeah, the Flash family, it's always been a family. Someone else down the line gets more superpowers.
Right. Well, so you mentioned it, and I just wanted to bring that up. We'll probably have an entire episode in the mid-season hiatus right now talking about the Rebirth comics, just like we did previous to the seasons kicking off. But Barry Allen is at the end of the season three mid-season finale. He has seen a vision looking at Iris and Iris being killed by Savitar. And so he shares the information with Jay Garrick. Jay Garrick says, look, that might happen. It might not happen. Going into the future is very dangerous. And then says that you should not focus on that. Speedsters going into the future, very bad thing. Barry Allen decides to move forward with his relationship with Iris and get an apartment together and move in together. So that's where we're at right now. And I believe it's 3 months into the future is the time period that he went into the future, Michelle. Is that right? 3 months?
Yeah, something like that. It's not too long in the future. Yeah, people, just a pro tip. Don't go find an apartment and then sign your significant other to a lease without discussing it with them first. On the surface, this seems like a romantic gesture, and Iris takes it rather well, but yeah.
Only works in television.
Yeah, because I mean, I know Barry has said multiple times that there's no Flash without Iris, and you know, they have evolved that relationship this first few episodes, but I really hope moving forward that Iris gets to be more than just Barry's cheerleader. I mean, she does look at him and she says, like, you're not God. We've made mistakes. You need to move forward. Like right now in the comics, we brought up the comics. She's an investigative reporter and she's out there and she's doing stuff. In the first 9 episodes, like, does she even go to work anymore? I don't know.
We haven't seen work. They tore down that set or something.
Yeah, she spends a lot of time at Star Labs for a reporter.
I know. You know, if you were working at the paper and you'd just be like, where's Iris? All of a sudden there's another, oh, look, it's another article about the Flash and something new happening at Star Labs. Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know we needed that much time and space to Flash and Star Labs. That's interesting. But I really hope she gets to be a little bit more, because now I'm also worried because of what's happening to with her brother, Wally. Because if you don't know, Wally's becoming, he's finally got his speed powers. So we've got yet another speedster. Yay.
And they're still not done. There's still more to go.
That's right. Before we go on to other speedsters, Suncast in the chat asked us a question. Do you think Barry and Iris got together too soon? Michelle?
Here's my thing with Barry and Iris. First off, I think it suffered from a lot of people's expectations. Again, like with Ollie and the Black Canary, everybody's like, oh, in the comic book, they end up together. And here they end up together from comic book wise. My biggest thing is they're basically siblings. Like at one point in one of the episodes, Joe looks at Barry and says, you're the daughter I never had, which it's like they both look at Joe as a father figure. And so part of me is a little bit, because here's the thing, like my father's adopted and I come from a family and my Uncle Jerry adopted kids where adopted is family and like your family. To me, that's taking family a little too far. So I'm still trying to adjust to that and everything, which I know maybe some people will be like, oh, get over it. But for me, they were raised like Barry was like, what, 9 when his parents died or his mom died and stuff. And his dad's in prison. So Joe raised him and everything. So I just don't know if they work as a couple.
Right. They did allude to the fact that this was difficult to swallow. Joe took a couple of episodes to get kind of okay with it. And then after he kind of slipped by it. And this is the second time they've had that thing with Joe.
Because yeah, you also had what the Earth 2 version. And they were married on that planet and wouldn't deal with it. He was all against that relationship on that one.
He was, but man had a set of pipes to him.
Yeah, I love how they snuck in a singing scene for Joe Green.
Yeah, so, okay, let's talk about Joe West. So he's had quite the season here. He's been playing a drunk delinquent in Flashpoint to having to deal with his kids dating each other to having to deal with Wally. So I think they've really used that character and that actor well this season.
He's awesome. That was the one character announcement when they said that. That's why I called him Joe Green, because in my head, he's still Ed Green. After, you know, 1,400 episodes of Law and Order, I'm not sure if I can think of him as anything other than Ed Green.
I can't see him without hearing that. Tick-tong.
It follows him around.
Poor Jesse L. Martin. That's his name.
Yeah, Jesse L. Martin. And he's such a fantastic actor. I mean, you know, Law and Order, Rent, all the other stuff he's been a part of. But when they announced that he was going to be Joe West and everybody's like, oh, what the hell? Like, all of a sudden, Barry's adopted dad's going to be a black guy. I'm like, who cares? It's Jesse L. Martin. That gives the show like a quality veteran actor from day one. Like, that's an amazing person that all those kid actors get to work with. And so I was psyched from the beginning. He's so good. Yeah. Like, and sneaking in stuff like, oh, we're going to do an alternate universe where he's a lounge singer. Like, that's just fantastic.
He grounds the show in a very, I don't know, earthy is the right way, but he just brings, I don't know. He comes into a room. He has great presence. Even though he does a dad moment, it's still a very just nice, powerful moments that he can just bring instantly.
And I think that was part of the really good part about this season is that what we basically got was 9 episodes of him being a dad. We don't really know the exact cause of like all the anger and craziness in Flashpoint, but we've basically seen him dealing with 2 of his kids, pretty much starting a relationship. He had the thing where he was angry at his daughter, getting over that, and then dealing with one kid that was, you know, almost suicidal to the point of ready to kill himself to try to get superpowers, then now has them, went through a cocoon metamorphosis, and is now dealing with the fact that that kid also wants to run off and face down, you know, super villains and guys with guns with nothing on but a yellow, bright yellow suit. Like, yeah, he's done a whole lot of dad stuff during this first half of the season. That's been really cool for him to be that older character, to be like, you're all nuts, but I want all my kids to be okay and safe and happy.
So I got a question for you guys. I can't remember the beginning of the season and where this girlfriend originated from. Is she new this season, or has she been around from like season 2 or something like that?
She's new, the DA.
Yeah, because she's the new DA. I don't think they've had a DA on the show before.
When was her first appearance on the show?
Either episode 2 or 3.
And how was she brought in?
Oh, the husk. She was coming in because they wanted Barry to work more on the husk case and all this type of stuff. So she's part of was wanting that to happen more. So she could be another person that works there because of Flashpoint, like Julian.
Okay. Okay. So she just popped up and said it was part of the story starting like episode 2, episode 3.
I don't remember her in either of the first 2 seasons.
No, and I was racking my brain as she became more and more prominent, and Joe and her, the DA, was starting. I can't even remember her character's name. They were starting to...
Cecile?
Yeah, Cecile Horton. Daniel Nicolette.
So they were starting to bloom their relationship. She's got kids of her own and that sort of thing, so...
Yeah, she's credited for 5 episodes from 2015 to 2016, so just the start of this season.
Okay. So we'll see where that goes. But we've talked about Joe West as a dad. We've talked about Kid Flash. Let's move into Kid Flash and the dad and Wally West training. And let's just go through that whole thing, because I think it's been an amazing development in this season. But Kid Flash, he's got, maybe it's just because he's a speedster now, he's got impatience to a whole new level.
Wally's grating on my nerves.
Yeah, they're playing him a little Bart Allen. He's a little impulse.
Yeah, what gets me is that he's, like Jesse Quick comes from, like for those of you who weren't familiar with last season, where you had Earth 2 and you had Harry Wells from Earth 2 come along with his daughter. While they were still here in Earth Prime, they got hit by another particle, and so did Wally. Jesse, when she makes an appearance, she has speed powers, and instead of really being happy for his friend, he's jealous. I know he's jealous because he can't be a superhero and things like that, but it sort of becomes a little, I don't know, whiny. Here's the thing. Barry is whiny and a little selfish, and here we have Wally, who's being whiny and a bit selfish. Like, is it just their own character, or is it like the Speed Force just makes everybody whiny and annoying.
Well, no, because then once Wally got the speed, he's not whiny. He just wants to be a hero. So he stopped whining and complaining. Now he just wants to train and get better and be a hero.
But once they got the Speed Force, Barry, Wally, Jesse, they all want to get out there and do stuff, and they don't realize that they have limitations. Yes, they've got these all superhero powers, but there's other people that know how to deal with speed spheres, especially 3 years down the line from the metahuman incident. And it's dangerous out there. And to go out there without being trained, all three of them, is a little bit...
Well, and which Wally learned in, what was it, the Invasion?
Right.
When he decided to take on half of the CW.
Right, and then Wally in, the, I think it was the mid-season finale, got his butt kicked with Barry on Savitar, too, right?
I believe so, yeah.
In the present, yeah.
Yeah, and he's not learning the lessons of, you really need to train. And I know that HR has been working with him behind Joe's back, and that was a whole thing between the two. Those two have an oil and water relationship, no matter which version of Harry Wells it is.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, Joe never likes him, no matter which. There's three versions so far. Joe hasn't liked any of them.
Right. So you have that going on, and without the help of another person that's a superhero that can help train him, like if Stephen Amell showed up as the Arrow and really trained Wally West, I think it might actually be good. But there's just stuff that speedsters need to show other speedsters. Like if you run too fast, you're going to be part of the Speed Force. So don't run too fast.
Since you mentioned it, we have to mention the fact that when they bring the training part up in the crossover episode, one of the best things ever is Barry telling Supergirl how Ollie trained him and he shot me
twice.
Wait, what? Like, yeah, I shot him. That part was so great.
She gives him instant respect. And I didn't have a chance to talk about the crossover because I wasn't here that week. But the one thing that kind of bugged me about that was Ollie. It was the limit of what he could do. The man can deal with magic. He can deal with superheroes. He can deal with speedsters, metas. But to talk to him about aliens, and that's a step too far. Okay, well.
Everybody's got their thing.
I guess, but at least Supergirl gave him respect, and I think he's set up to be the Batman of everybody, so when they need a team leader, they'll go to Batman, and in this case, it's Green Arrow, so I kind of like that, but he's not entirely, he's fallible a little bit. So anyway, to get back to Wally West, Jesse Quick, they had the whole relationship thing going and on again, off again. I just wish we had more Jesse Quick because she's such a great person for the show.
Yeah. And what gets me is like, yeah, Wally is happy to be a hero, but now he's getting cocky because now he's learning that he is quite possibly quicker than Barry, which could cause some problems. And it's like all this just what I just want OG flashback. I just want Jay Garrick to come for some arc. And go, look here, you whippersnappers. This is how it really needs to be done because you are going to destroy the universe unless if I take a week out of my time to sit down with you and teach you how it's done.
Which could be cool. That might be what we're leading up to at the end of season three is we have, you know, Jake teaching them both how to be better speedsters, which would be fantastic. Because it becomes a question of, you know, we're not going to want a team that has 3, 4, 5 speedsters on it on one TV show. And we know Grant Gustin is going to remain the lead, even if, as it looks like they're doing, just like in the comics, Wally's a much more powerful character. But at some point, they're going to have to deal with that. And I'm wondering if we're going to get Wally shuffled off to Keystone, where we have the Twin Cities, where you have Barry in Central City and Wally taking care of Keystone City. So there's two Flashes covering the two different towns.
If they do it in the same show, maybe. But if there's a limit to how many TV shows on superheroes you can have on the CW.
Yeah, I'm not talking about another show, but I'm saying to where we have, it gives them an option of saying, because it, I believe in the show as well as the comics, Keystone and Central City are twin cities like Minneapolis, St. Paul, where it's basically just across the bridge from each other. And so if you have Wally keep growing in his powers, he becomes better and better as the Flash, but then you kind of shift that character one town over. It's like, okay, well, Wally's there and the actor can show up on episodes, but Wally's not there for every episode, every scene, making Barry look slow. Because that's not what you want of your main hero on the TV show, is someone that has the same powers and is better with it, faster, and younger. Like, he's hitting all the demographics. Like, Barry's not going to want that.
Oh, you don't think they're going to kill him, do you?
Have you seen the way Grant Gustin interacts with fans? He's almost as good as Stephen Amell.
No, not Grant Gustin.
Oh, Wally? They might. Anybody can just get, you know, they're running so fast and then boom, they just melt in the Speed Force. And then they come back, you know, two seasons later for whatever reason.
Well, if they give him his own action figure in the show, then we know it's got to be kaput.
Yeah, that's usually a staying point. And next season, or the start of this next half of the season, we should finally get to see Kenyon Lonsdale in the suit for more than just a couple of scenes that we saw in Flashpoint, which, and I'm wondering also, is the suit going to be exactly like the one from Flashpoint, or are we now getting to get another variation on a Flash suit? They've done so many suits on the show, it's insane for only three seasons of television, or two and a half.
The costume department works very well.
I think it's going to be the same, because I think Barry would have designed it. And so Barry would have been like, this is the what I saw. So
this is what it looked like, yeah. This is what Wally's been seeing in his dreams, so this is the suit we should make him. He knows it'll look good.
But Cisco's the one who makes the suit, and we haven't talked a lot about Cisco yet, so let's talk about Cisco now. He's got a brother that's dead in Flashpoint.
I said, he ain't got a brother.
Yeah, that's right. And he's a little messed up. They were bros. They had... The two of them, Barry and Cisco, were it, and Cisco, it was the science baby sort of thing, to borrow something from Lauren from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., with Caitlin Snow, and he's been messed up, but he's been increasing in his powers, his vibe powers, all along as well. Very interesting arc for this character in this first half of the third season.
I miss Cisco. Actual, funny... Coming up with the names, still questioning things, but having just like the heart. He was the heart. To me, he was like a big part of it, a soul. And oh, it hurt me to see him so different when Flashpoint was over.
When the second half of the season starts, I think they're going to continue on the arc they are, which is to basically get the team back to where they were somewhere in season two. Because, you know, we have, you know, Cisco had, you know, the really dark parts where he hated Barry. And then by the end of the four-part crossover, three-and-a-half-part crossover, you know, he had the part where he got to go back in time to change something for the right reason and realize, oh, I fucked up. I made things worse. Oh, shit, that's exactly what Barry did. Damn it. And then he had to realize, oh, I've been pissed off at my friend, and I realize exactly what he did, why he did it, and that dealing with the repercussions suck.
True. But it's, I don't know, there's just something, I'm not the only one, you know, I live tweet the show, and even a lot of people who've been watching since day one, like, this is the one part that, like, universally, the majority of us are like, we do not like this. It's one of those things to where, like, Cisco being a shell of himself, and just, I mean, it's great that he's getting better vibe powers and better control of his powers and things like that. But it's just, because especially since they changed Caitlin so much as well, you know, it's a lot of changes.
As a comic fan, vibe has been a joke, has been the butt of jokes for so long. And the fact that this actor has made so many people love Cisco Ramon, that people are angry about the character basically not being, you know, quite as fun as he was in the first two seasons. Like, that's all credit to the actor. Because believe me, that's not coming from anything that was ever written in that character in the comics. That's all this show and that actor. Because yeah, he's made people actually enjoy Vibe. And they like his character. They like multiple Earth versions of him. That kid has done a hell of a job.
Vibe in Earth 2 was, I think we can all agree, the most powerful metahuman.
Reverb.
Yeah. So Cisco has a lot of possibilities to move forward with. And Caitlin, she's got an issue because she's seen where her meta powers are going to lead, and she's trying everything to prevent Killer Snow from happening.
I'm trying not to sing Let It Go right now.
I like how they explained in the episode Monster, where the reason why it seems like she has a split personality is that when she uses her powers, her body chemistry is actually changing. So it's not like with like Barry, how Barry's like one with the Speed Force and everything like that. It's an actual chemistry change. And that's why she seems to be like a different person.
Yeah, she's an Incredible Hulk type superhero, where Barry is Spider-Man. He's always that. But when she turns on her power, she becomes a different person. And see, and honestly, that was the only thing I really had any trouble with so far this season, was the whole Cisco Ramon arc made sense to me. The Joe West, the Wally West, all of those arcs made sense to me. The Caitlin's a little weirded out. Oh shit, she has powers. Okay, she's a murderous, crazy person trying to kill all of us. And by the episode, she's our friend again. Like that went a little quick. Like that turnaround at the end of that episode seemed a little fast to me. I wanted to see a little more fallout of that is crazy. Stay away from Caitlin. Cause yeah, she went from I'm, you know, a little concerned about my powers to I'm going to kill you all and like just chucking icicles everywhere. She was trying to take out everybody.
Well, they were able to talk each other out of it. Not only was Barry, but like when Cisco in the episode, The Present, where the box is tempting Cisco to be with his brother and stuff like that, Caitlin's the one that's able to like talk him down. That sort of gave me hope that this team will come back together, that Barry was able to step up, be the leader, and is going, you know what? I still know who Caitlin is. I can still reach her. Even though all this Flashpoint stuff happened, Caitlin is still Caitlin, and I can do this. And it's almost the dark side, trying to fight with the dark side and everything. You know, Barry was able to go, you are not like this. You know, come back.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we'll see the team getting more like they used to be. I think that's where they're heading with it. Because, yeah, the Flash needs to be the fun show. Arrow, you know, has always been dark and gritty and depressing, and Oliver has to just be angry or the show doesn't seem to work. Anytime they try to cheer him up, people seem to complain about that show. Where the Flash, like if Barry's not happy and they're not having fun as characters, the show seems to have trouble storyline-wise. It seems to not work as well.
So far, it's worked okay for the Flash and until it came into this season. We'll see how it goes forward. And we've talked about him before. Talking about the shift in seasons, we get a new Wells this season, HR, and we were talking before we went live on the podcast. He's very aloof, very fun character, supposedly, but I think there's more of a secret behind him than just a novelist. I think there's a more nefarious thing behind HR.
They need a lion cat on this show to just follow HR around.
I don't know. He's either really nefarious or really actually that stupid. There's no in between. He's either the coffee nut.
Could he be both?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's so stupid he becomes evil. I don't know. Look, I love Tom Cavanaugh. I've loved him since Ed. I think I can agree with that. The fact that he's been able to do all these different versions. I really was hoping that we would have gotten true, actual Harrison Wells. The season we could have with Flashpoint, or maybe a version of that's close to when they brought him through the portal or something. Maybe someone like he lost his wife, but he didn't have Reverse Flash, but it was basically still him. Because I think we've seen the actual Harrison Wells, like, oh, 5 minutes, if even. So it's like, hopefully one day we actually get to see that guy. Because right now it's like, what is the point of HR besides getting everyone coffee and having a drumstick?
He's been there to train Wally. He's been there to give the team levity. He has...
to make Joe mad.
Right. He has inspired solutions to move forward, but it isn't the genius HR Harry or whatever Wells that we've seen in the past. And he's still a wanted criminal, really, in this universe. So he's got to just stay put inside the dilapidated, not fixed up yet.
Yeah.
He's got the face on a stick now, so that's kind of cool.
That's true. That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah.
It's been mentioned in other shows, but I love the fact that in Star Labs, anything you can think of, you can build in 30 minutes, no matter what it is.
Cisco can, because Cisco can build anything in 30 minutes.
It's insane how quickly they mass produce items in that lab.
It's because they have a replicator.
Yeah, it's a land of magic replicators.
I see that's all the speeches that you don't see are actually in the basement as part of the sweatshop, just putting stuff together for Cisco. Every time he has an idea, it's like, build that. And they're just down there putting stuff together at lightning speed.
It's Santa Land. That's what it is. Yeah, get little elves down there. Okay, Let's move on to some villains, which HR might be, might not be. And let's talk about Malcolm Malfoy.
Malcolm Malfoy?
you mean Draco? I know, it's been so cute to see Barry, Harry, and Draco, Julian, talk and not get along and spar. And
the best meme ever, Harry, I hate lightning bolts.
Exactly.
He's a fantastic actor. Yeah, Felton, he does the job really well. He plays the guy you love to hate really, really good.
I'm really disappointed that Julian's not close with his family because now he can't go, Barry, I'm going to tell my dad. Wait till I tell my father.
I didn't even think of that. That would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been. But his dad, I don't know, after watching all the Harry Potter movies and reading all the books, his dad kind of turns out to be a weasel in the end. So I don't know. That's what I have in my head going forward. I guess the most powerful scene is the one at the end of, I can't remember which movie it was, like two or three, when the little servant elf, Harry gives him the sock. And so he was free because of that. I think in the bridge, I'm talking about Harry Potter, by the way.
Well, yeah, no, they snuck a sock in the book, gave it to Lucius Malfoy. And then when Lucius handed it to Dobby, that's what released him because there was a sock in the book, which made his master give him clothing, which gave him his freedom.
That's right.
So, yeah, it was even better because if Harry did it, nothing would have happened. But because Lucius did it, then it's even worse because Harry cost Lucius his house elf.
That's right.
He made him get rid of his own slave.
So that was my favorite scene of Lucius in the entire movies, whatever. Okay. But let's get back to Julian here. He just appears out of nowhere into the CSI lab. And you're like, who is this guy? What's going on? And why can't he stand Barry? Because everybody loves Barry, but apparently Julian does not. And we find a lot about Julian by the end of the mid-season finale. We find out that he has always been looking after this book that, or whatever you want to call it, this encasement that eventually releases Savitar.
Yeah, and like, so here you have Draco Malfoy be a really bad Indiana Jones by going to India, finding this Philosopher's Stone. Thank you very much.
And he was looking for the Philosopher's Stone, which is the first Harry Potter book.
And so he finds the thing and he's like, I gotta open it. And all of us are like going, you don't have Indiana Jones in this universe? Because we're like, don't, oh, but he opens it and finds out that the stone, okay, now this is going to lead into alchemy and Savitar. So having the stone makes Julian alchemy. And when Julian is alchemy, he blacks out. And alchemy has the little stone and he's giving people the powers that they had in Flashpoint. And the stone is like an aspect of Savitar, which is, it's allowing, it's like more like a conduit, a little doorway to allow Savitar to do his thing. And who's Savitar? Savitar is the god of speed. Did I miss anything?
You got it. Nailed it.
It's Tobin Bell, the guy who did the Jigsaw Killer in the Saw movies, which was the funnest thing when I started hearing Savitar's voice. I'm like, oh my God, it's Savitar saying, I want to play a game.
All right, let me ask you guys a question. Do you think Julian really doesn't remember anything when he becomes alchemy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give him that.
All right, I don't.
I think the way they're letting Tom Felton play it is they're going to make it to where he's not actually a bad person. He's just a person that has had bad things happen to him. And one of them being that he's basically been a puppet of a supervillain and hasn't known about it and didn't want to admit it because he had no idea what was happening during the times when he was blacked out. So he was just trying to ignore whatever it was that was causing it.
So there's a lot of conflict during these 8 episodes from episode 2 to episode 9 between Julian and the rest of the team. In the end, he ends up coming into the West's home for the Christmas party. And I'm like, something's not sitting right here. It's not feel right to me.
Caitlin invited him and he did just let the team hook his head to the box so he could channel the god of speed and Savitar giving his whole I'm the bad guy monologue. So for those of you who haven't, obviously this is a spoiler. So when Savitar, through Julian, is speaking, he says, I am the future Flash. Now, I don't know, like, if there's a comma, because if it's I am the future Flash, then he's saying he's the Flash from the future, or it could be I am the future, comma, Flash. But he does say that Barry's future self locks him in eternity. And so now Savitar is, because he's the god of speed, can come back and he's doing what he's doing in order to escape from whatever future Barry has done. And he's another speed person. Season one, Reverse Flash. Season two, Zoom. Season three, Savitar. And oh, by the way, we have Jesse Quick and Wally West. And I did not know when I was signing up to watch The Flash that I would just be getting speedster upon speedster upon speedster. Please tell me, Anthony, will that ever end?
Have you ever read The Flash comics, Michelle? But I'll say, when you get your base story from somewhere, that's where you're going to get your heroes and your villains. 80 to 90% of the, you know, just throwaway stuff, it's all going to be speedsters. The Rogues Gallery, that we've seen some of it, and we've got almost all of them, because we have Girder, we have Mirror Master, we had Hot and Cold, but we lost them. And so that's part of the problem, is that Captain Cold and Heatwave are two of the longest lasting Flash villains ever, and they're just gone. So it becomes that thing, like when you're dealing with Superman, you have to have a villain that can deal with super strength and speed and X-ray vision and blah, blah, blah. When you're dealing with Barry, it's like, okay, you have to have a villain that can deal with speed. Well, the easiest answer for that is another speedster. So yeah, there's a lot of speed. I think they've introduced 3 new speed villains in the new Flash comics since it relaunched, and that was only 10 issues ago. So in less than a year, they've already given 3 new villains. There's a new one called Godspeed, and he's really cool looking. But yeah, the simplest villain for a speedster is another speedster. It never ends. No, it never ends.
So as long as we can bring in some Green Lanterns eventually, I'm going to be all good with it.
Oh, if only.
I know.
My soul for Kyle Rayner. Kyle Rayner in a suit. He is the best GL ever. He beats them all. He's the torchbearer. We need Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, we need a lot of things, but we'll see when it actually happens, either on the big screen or, you know, on the small screen, you know, whatever. They need to bring that character forward. I know a lot of people don't like the movie. I enjoyed the movie. I enjoyed Green Lantern, so.
The problem was the script, not Ryan Reynolds. The problem was the script.
Right.
Fair enough.
That was one where they mixed characters, too, where you talk about, like, the difference between Barry and Wally. The Green Lantern that they did was a mix between Hal and Kyle and a little Guy Gardner. And so that's why it didn't fit in any of those worlds.
Yeah. So impromptu here, we're going to be entering into the second half of the season in roughly 4 weeks for The Flash. Where do you think it's all going to end, Michelle?
Well, let's see. I don't think they're not going to kill. They're not going to kill Iris. They are not going to pull an Arrow and kill the one destined to be with the main guy. Like on Arrow, they killed Laurel.
Yep.
They're not going to kill Iris.
Now, that might end up with a complete CW revolt if they do that for the second time.
Yeah, that, no, there's a whole bunch of people that will just, they will quit the show if Iris is killed. And not just because she's the girlfriend, it's for a lot of other reasons why they would quit. Wally, Anthony has a good point about too many speedsters, hero speedsters. Wally, I think, is either going to die or be sacrificed some way or something. I doubt HR will last until next season. I hope not. I want Joe to live. I really do. But man, that would push Barry in a different way if he lost another dad. So I really don't know how they're going to defeat Savitar. And I think Anthony might have some more insight on that. So for me, character-wise, how I would like the season to end, I don't really care if Barry and Iris are together as a couple. I don't really care about that. I want to see Iris as a stronger character, more involved in something. That's what I want to see. I want to see her alive. I want to see Cisco back. I want to see that triangle of Cisco, Caitlin, and Barry stronger, like they were at the end of season two. So that's how I really would see this end, this season go.
Anthony, your turn. What do you want to see for the second half of The Flash?
For this season, I think we're going to see is they'll keep pushing that team back towards the science triangle. We'll have our happier science nerds again. They'll be back to being friends with all of them now, having all 3 of them having superpowers. Maybe some resolution with HR. I think we'll see Wally's powers growing, but I don't think we'll see him quite get rid of him yet. I'm thinking it was somewhere around the end of season four, I believe. Because I'm thinking if they try to do it now at the end of season three, it'd be too fast. But I think Michelle's idea of a sacrifice really holds weight, because what they have is one of the greatest comic sacrifices of all time was when DC first originally started doing different multiple planets. And you had the multiverse like they have on all the shows now. They came up with, you know, this idea, and they started just creating just hundreds and hundreds of them. They're ridiculous, this unlimited number. And so DC's Comics' answer to that was the Crisis on Infinite Earths. There were two extremely powerful deaths in that comic book series that were both sacrifices, where Supergirl died, and you get the epic cover of Superman holding the dead body of Supergirl, which I believe was issue 12. And then the final thing that put the nail in the coffin that beat, I think it was the Monitor or the Anti-Monitor, and saved everybody while shoving all the worlds into one planet, was the invention of the cosmic treadmill and Barry running on it. And Barry ran so fast that he basically burned up the molecules in his body, and like the suit fell to the ground. Like there was nothing left of it. But because of that, the power he generated through the cosmic treadmill pretty much saved everybody. And so I could see them going towards where we get Wally making that sacrifice, because he is faster than Barry, because he ends up being more powerful than Barry. And so I'm thinking more probably season four than season three. It could be possible. I mean, if they work it fast, it's possible by season three. But that's what we'll get. They'll combine the universes, and we'll get Supergirl's National City will now be a city that exists in the same planet as our Central City and Star City. And so they'll all be on one world. We'll get a combined Crisis on Infinite Earths type event, where we'll get Wally sacrificing himself on something like the cosmic treadmill, and we'll end up with one combined universe for all four of the TV shows.
It would be hard for me to stomach, from a story standpoint, a strategic story standpoint, the fact of Wally dying, because that would make Jill West like Quentin over on Arrow way too much. So I'm not sure.
Quentin?
Oh, like, wow. So you're going to say that if Joe loses Wally, he's just automatically become an aimless drunk and...
Oh, okay. Yeah, Quentin Lance. I'm sorry. I wasn't getting the character.
Yeah, it's okay. I think there would be too many parallels in that particular instance. So I think they got to go a slightly different route.
You have Joe still has two kids to take care of. And then I think, especially with the actor of that caliber, with Jesse L. Martin, I think you then get a Joe West that is so much more dedicated to spending time with Iris and Barry and keeping them alive and safe, that like they could do a whole season of him being the crazy overprotective dad.
Kind of have already done that for the first half of the season here.
I just know Jesse L. Martin could pull it off. Happily, I'll watch it.
Yeah, if there's anybody that could pull off a Quentin Lance-like character.
I just know if they keep building up Wally, then yeah, they have to do something with it. And yeah, the idea of him being a sacrifice because his power grows beyond Barry's, but he's able to then do something that saves everybody. Because then Joe also gets to be extremely proud of the fact that, you know, his flesh and blood son that he's barely known, only had a little bit of time with, and he goes out as the hero that saves multiple planets, that saves universes maybe. Like, no matter how bad he would feel about it, he also gets to be extremely proud, because that's his kid that did that. That's his son that saved everyone.
Yeah, that's true. Proud papa. Okay. We'll see what happens. I've been enjoying the show. Until this last week, I haven't been able to watch the episodes. The last 2 weeks, I haven't been able to watch the episodes on the week that they've aired. I've been slowly catching up throughout the entire season. So I caught up in time for the crossover, and I've been just really bent over the whole Flashpoint thing. We talked about that before. I hope that gets resolved. I hope that it gets resolved in a way that it's beneficial to all the shows that it's affected, because it's really starting to grate on at least me, and I hope that eventually we get some payoff, some positive payoff out of it.
It's bugging you and Diggle. It's really bugging Diggle.
I mean, he's got his son, and he's like, oh, I wonder what a daughter would have been like.
Oh, and plus, a Diggle is the standard character where every time he sees Barry, every time he deals with Barry, it's the way Ollie felt with the alien. Diggle just looks at Barry, he's like, it doesn't make sense. How does this fit in my world? Your abilities are just not right.
It's true. Well, it is some of the best comic book TV for a lot of people. My personal favorite is still Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is really tanking in the ratings this year. And Flash is up there. I like Arrow a little bit more. Last year, it was hard to say that. This year, it's a little easier to say that. But now that the mid-season finale has come and gone for all the shows, I got to say Legends of Tomorrow has definitely won me over so far. But I still like these shows. I'm going to watch all four of them on the CW network. So we'll just see how that goes. And I know a lot of people watch Supernatural as well. And a lot of people are gunning for Constantine to come back. And there's a lot of things up in the air. But at least we've got these four shows this year from Supergirl, The Flash, Legends of Tomorrow, and Arrow. And don't forget, Legends of Tomorrow moves from Thursday to Tuesday right after The Flash.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, Tuesdays are going to become superhero night because you'll have Flash, Legends, and then Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. if the time slots stay the same.
Yep, that's right. And the CW app has made it really easy. I had to watch everything on the CW app the last 2 weeks as I was stuck in a couple of hotels.
Have you had any problems with that?
The CW app? No. Well, I've had problems with hotel Wi-Fi, but I haven't had any problems with the CW app. Have you had any issues with the CW app?
No, just, a little plug over on a CMYK TV podcast. We talk about every one of the comic book shows, and my co-host over there, Josh Hawks, where he's at in Denver, like he has, big apartment complex, good size, internet connection, doesn't have a problem with anything else. But for some odd reason, his connection to the CW app, he's had trouble with it all this season. And I know originally at my house, like two and a half years ago, when I was first watching, I would catch up on some of the Arrow episodes. Like the app would lock up sometimes, and I was the only person on that cable modem at the time, and I had trouble with it. I moved to my buddy's house and watched every episode on a PlayStation 4, no problem with the CW app there, and I have no problem with the app here. It seems for some people, whatever, I don't know if it's their specific URL, where they're living, but it seems like some people the CW app works perfect and the website's fine, and for other people it seems really glitchy. Don't see what the difference is.
It could be the central server that they're being pointed to, the regional server, and maybe it's just overloaded. Like in Denver, for instance, a lot of college students between University of Denver and Boulder that they might be.
Just the sheer amount of people in the area.
It could be. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird because, I hear some people saying like it's a fantastic website and it always works and they have no problem. And other people talk about it like, it's great when it works, but when it doesn't work at all.
I just wish, and I know why they can't do it, but I just wish that you could watch it live with everybody else. And like I said, I understand why they can't do it, but yeah. Okay. Well, that is it for our discussion on The Flash. Normally at this point, we move over into some news. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with you. Got to get that news bump in here at the Starling Tribune, the newspaper of the superheroes. So we run down specifically Arrow news because we're normally an Arrow podcast and then we get to the rest of the DC TV shows. The first news story we'll go into, Anthony will talk to us about Arrow tragedy will push Felicity to a darker, morally questionable place.
So Wendy, I think at Miracle, discussed Felicity with TVOnline.com, said, one thing Felicity is not going to do, I can tell you for sure, is blame Oliver. She recognizes the manipulations that have led to the situation, and Felicity has set her sights on Prometheus. This season, we have said we're going to take her to a darker place, and you're seeing the genesis of the reason why right here. So yeah, Felicity's got a lot to deal with. I mean, she nuked a city last season, and then now her ex-boyfriend murdered her current boyfriend in cold blood. Like, ouch.
Yeah, I gotta admit, this does fit the character, but I had concerns whether Felicity was gonna start blaming Oliver over what happens. The Felicity of old would have been, I understand you did what you did, but as the couple talked last week on the Starling Tribune, that would be Chris and Michelle, couldn't if he have maybe shot him in the leg or something and not gone for the kill shots in the shoulder or the chest area?
That's what Prometheus was proving.
Yeah, he did.
Was that given the opportunity, Oliver is still a murderer. And so that's why it hurts so bad.
Just wasn't one arrow. It wasn't two arrows. It was three.
Because, he thought it was Prometheus, but he could have put, an arrow through the thigh and severed his femur and questioned him as he bled out. No, he put three in his chest. Like, he put him down hard.
He did. And we'll see what happens and how all that fleshes out, apparently, according to this article. Felicity's not going to blame Arrow. She's going to, or Oliver Queen, and she's going to blame Prometheus, which I think is the right move for the show, but It could have gone any other way. So, Michelle, you put out a tweet on at Starling Tribune, which is our Twitter account of the show, and you do live tweets of all the CW shows as they happen throughout the week, which is fun to watch or read afterwards if you happen to catch the show later. But you tweeted something from the account that has gotten a lot of responses. I actually took a look at this myself, and it was knee-slapping fun. I say that in a good way. Tell everybody what you found and what you've put out there into the internet.
Well, back in the olden days, in 1966, there was the Batman show with Adam West, and a person, YouTube user Dave Jones, did the Arrow Supergirl Flash. They did the credit like if it was done in 1966, like the Adam West show. And it is pure fun. You get like the like flat out animation. You get like the villains just moving across the screen. You get Biff, Pow, everything. It is just, it's delightful. If, you know, it's very short, it'll bring a smile to your face.
It certainly did me. That was a great find. I've watched it several times. So also, you've picked up an article from HollywoodReporter.com about Hollywood's 50 favorite female characters.
The Hollywood Reporter did an industry poll, and the editors asked Hollywood professionals, actors, writers, directors, and others to take a survey about their favorite fictional female characters. More than 1,800 people participated, and Felicity is number 15. She beat out I Love Lucy. She beat out Arya Stark. She beat out like Elaine from Seinfeld. So for someone who was not meant to be a main character on a show and a character on a superhero show on a smaller network like CW, to get number 15 from 1,800 professionals, that's a feat. That is quite impressive.
It is definitely impressive. And I would say that from the start of Arrow, that honor probably should have gone to Laurel versus Felicity, but it is what it is at this point. So we will just have to go with it. And finally, the last news story that we'll talk about this week is something that I gave to Michelle, and her reaction is pretty much what my reaction is, but I'm going to let her talk all about Wonder Woman and the United Nations.
Back in October, I know we talked about it on the show, I was so happy Wonder Woman was made an ambassador for women's equality at the United Nations. You know, Wonder Woman is their 75th anniversary, and it was great. But there was a petition asking UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to reconsider the selection of the character. There were people have been upset because Wonder Woman is supposed to represent a strong and independent warrior woman with a feminist message. And the reality is that the character's current iteration is that of a large-breasted white woman of impossible proportions. So they are dumping Wonder Woman.
That was the actual complaint?
Yeah. So here's the thing. First of all, women deserve respect, whether we are covered in head to toe or we're naked. We can be warriors with big breasts or small breasts, tall, short, skinny, muscular, fat. We can still be warriors any way we want to be. There's the first part. The second part, it's not like this was a surprise. You all could have said no before you did like that. There was this big today. I watched the stream. It was, they had, you know, Gal Gadot was there. Linda Carter was there. The people from DC was there. In this presentation, people were upset. It's like the UN, yo, you could have just said, you know, let's go someplace else. Let's do some. And that's the third point. There are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of real-life people. You could have picked Beyoncé. No one would have had trouble with Beyoncé. It's just like,
Well, yeah, she's not bad. She's just drawn that way, right? Like, if they literally want to go with Wonder Woman, they could go with Gal Gadot, who is an actual woman, who is an ex-Israeli, you know, soldier. Who's an actual badass. Like, that's Wonder Woman now. Like, it's not just the comic book character. Like, we have an actual physical Wonder Woman currently in the movies that's an amazing woman. Like, that's insane. I heard that this had happened, but I hadn't heard the reason why. That makes it so much worse.
It is, and it's just another one of those things that you have to headbutt into a brick wall and wonder what the heck is going on with our world leaders, because the UN is basically ambassadors of the world leaders all in one place. And it's like, really, guys, sometimes I just want to leave this planet and go to Mars. Yeah, I said that at work, by the way, and they are all for sending me to Mars.
Mr. Snassa better be careful. You might wake up in a box and land on another planet.
I'm actually, as long as I still get the streams from all these shows, I'll be fine.
He just wants Wi-Fi. I'll go to Mars. Make sure I got a good Wi-Fi connection.
It doesn't even have to be Wi-Fi. Just, you know, a beam of information that's sent in compressed form. And then I'll just uncompress it and watch the shows later as I try to survive on the planet. And if I die on the planet, oh well, but I've been to Mars, so there we go. And this whole Wonder Woman thing, I think the people in the UN that made this decision to stop it, I think we're in the wrong. I get what they're saying, by the way. What they're saying makes sense on a tactical level, but when you look at the strategic picture, it's like, really? No, this is not good at all. Anyway, so I'll leave everybody with that. That's our last news story of the week. You can just scratch your heads all week and go, I can't believe the UN did this, which, you know, should happen more often. We should be talking about the UN more often, but in this particular case, don't get it. Anyway, Anthony, I want to thank you very much for coming on board. Usually at this point in time, we do a promotion of other podcasts on the GunnaGeek.com network. You are a co-host on a podcast on the GunnaGeek.com network. It is called All Things Good and Nerdy. It's on Sunday mornings on Geeks.live. It's produced by Chris, and you're on there with Naki and some possible felons. So why don't you explain what's going on with that podcast lately?
We go live 9 a.m. Mountain. They always do the other time, so I do my time. Every Sunday, no pants. Lots of talk about bacon and other stuff that I can't say on this podcast because it's not family friendly. It's in the title. It's All Things Good and Nerdy. We do a weekly news roundup, tech, games, comic books, movies, whatever we fill up to. And then, yeah, we play a lot of all sorts of rude, offensive games, tell awful jokes. Yeah, just have a general rowdy time. It's a good way to start off your Sunday before football.
Football. As long as football is on. Of course, NFL rankings are down. I talked all about ESPN's problems on this week's GunnaGeek.com show. So we'll just see how long that lasts. I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, but it's on a downward trend right now.
They can afford to lose a couple viewers. The NFL's not really hurting for money.
Not yet, anyway. All right. I want to thank all the live listeners in the Geeks.live chat. Suncast, you've been very proactive tonight. We really appreciate all the chats back and forth. I want to thank all the people that download the podcast or listen to us on Spreaker. And just a reminder that the replay will be available on Spreaker and YouTube. And if you have friends, go ahead and tell them they can join in the live chat Thursday, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. And thanks to all of the fans of the show.
You can watch the next live show on the GunnaGeek Network over on Geeks.live. The next live show on the network is Better Podcasting, Friday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We appreciate all the 5-star reviews on iTunes. Like us on Facebook, and also thank you to all those who liked us this week, and YouTube and badger us on Twitter. You can find all of our contact information on the GunnaGeek Network at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, where you can check out our forums and other shows. If you want to share your thoughts, head on over to our Facebook page, send in a tweet, or you can call us at 612-888-K. That's 612-888-2283.
Anthony, thank you very much for stepping in at the last moment as Chris was surprised with his Star Wars Rogue One tickets. Other than ATGN, where can people find you?
I am the co-host of ATGN as well as the CMYKTV podcast over at Points of Interest Podcast Network. And you can find me on Twitter at Anthony Bachman. Or if you just want to look at mostly art stuff, I have Instagram at Bachman Anthony because somebody snagged my name and doesn't use it, which is really annoying. I hate squatters.
I do. I've got a couple of Stargate Pioneer places. I'm like, really? I'm not the first Stargate Pioneer. I don't understand that. That just does not make somebody, I think, nabbed them before I got there after they saw my name.
It happens.
Yeah. Well, it was great having you on. Thank you very much for coming on board, and hopefully we'll have you in again sometime. So, Anthony and Michelle, this was a great episode. I really enjoyed talking about The Flash. I know Michelle just had to get it off her chest, which is why we talked about it first. I think that wraps it up for the week. Any last words before we sign off and say goodnight for the week? At Michelle Ely.
Hashtag almost bad yogurt.
At Anthony Bachman.
Hashtag our grandmas are real alcoholics.
That's true. And I am at Stargate Pioneer signing off with hashtag look here, you whippersnappers. Oracle, I think we're done here.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at gunnageek.com or check out our archive at starlingtribune.com. Visit gunnageek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.